All right, we are back with you now on this Monday morning, and in studio with us this morning is Ward 1 City Councilor Walter Thibodeau. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Dominic, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday is right. Boy, already the 7th day of December. Boy, I think we're winding down. Well, we're just getting started, but we're winding down another year. Mm-hmm. And with that, another year coming down the line for you as well.
Yeah, and I am counting the days, quite honestly.
After every Tuesday meeting, he's like, okay, no, that's one down and two to go, three to go, whatever.
And the more I try to break away, the more stuff comes in. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a contradiction because at no particular time I'm balancing things that are just beginning or that are in the middle of the process or that are at the end of the process. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always working on something. It just depends on where I am with that particular issue, whether I'm at the beginning, the middle, or the end.
You're always doing something here and there. And you've been a counselor now. This is the end of your how many years now?
My 18th year.
18
so it's
years.
Nine elections.
And and in between as a Ward 1 counselor and an at-large counselor, how many years on each one have you done in all those?
I did 14 years, or seven elections as a at-large counselor. And then there was an opportunity that in my ward, Ward 1, the ward counselor was leaving. They weren't going to run for re-election. And I had felt that at the time that I wasn't too sure that I wanted to be an at-large counselor anymore. But I kind of liked the idea of finally being able to represent the ward that I lived in. Mm-hmm. So I tried it, and as it turns out, no one ran against me.
Right.
Either in the first or the second election, so that I had two terms in, as including this one.
Right.
For Ward 1.
And in this past election that we just had this past last month,
right.
You had they had the Ward 1 counselors first time a gentleman Jim Conley was running. He's been to many of the city council meetings, and unfortunately he didn't get as many votes, but Sarah Lynn Reynolds is coming back to the council in January as well.
That's correct.
You know, she's done it before. She was the one term, then went off to, tried to be, was it a
state
representative. Yeah. But they're going to have some, I think, some great faces coming back and some new people as well. So, you know, you've got Jay DeLisio, you've got Julie Hall, you know, coming in now. And many of the other people that are coming back to the council.
Kate Jackson coming
back. That's right. Kate Jackson was there, too. She's representing Ward 4.
We were actually, the first time that I ran was the first time that Kate had run. Mm-hmm. And we were both running in the at-large race. And because the council was short members in the at-large category, because she was the top vote-getter in the city in the at-large race.
Right.
And so she was sworn in either that same night or the next day so that she could immediately go on the council and start going to meetings after the November election where the rest of us had to wait to be sworn in until the following January.
You know, and you've had your career, you've had a number of committees that you've chaired. Currently, you chair the traffic and transportation.
Yep.
Have you done a little bit of everything? I mean, you go back and forth every once in a while, depending on your background is traffic and transportation. So you've been doing that for a number of years.
I did that probably for the first 10 or 12 years, and then I was asked to be part of the leadership of the council.
Right.
So I was the vice president of the city council for two terms. So for that 4 years, transportation and traffic was such a busy committee that I asked Frank Cook, who's the current president, was the president who was elected then as well, and I asked him if I could switch from that busy committee to I think it was Personnel and Human Services. at the time. Some of the names of the committees have changed over the years, but so he allowed me to do that because it wasn't a committee that was as busy as transportation and traffic that always had something going on.
Right. And of course, now you've got we've got a couple more weeks to go to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. How many more city are there? All next 3 weeks, are there still city council meetings for the next 3 weeks?
Well, I know that we have for sure. We have two more weeks of meetings because this month has five Tuesdays. Usually,
right.
The fifth Tuesday we take off, but there are some issues that President Cook may decide that he's going to call for a special meeting. Mm-hmm. So. We always, no matter where you are in your term, when it comes to a fifth Tuesday, you never make any plans for it because you never know if the president or the mayor is going to call for a special meeting.
Yeah, and I know in the past there's been some special meetings on Thursday nights as well.
Well, yeah, because the docket has been so full, you can't expect someone to work all day and then get to a meeting and be there for 6 or 7 hours and have to get up and go to work the next uh-huh. day and make rational decisions based on the information that you're given.
Yeah.
After a certain amount of time, your brain kind of goes to mush
and,
of taking everything in and trying to make decisions. And not everything is something that we're briefed on ahead of time.
Right.
Excuse me. And that's why there were many meetings this year that people came in and explained things to us way ahead of it being put into any committee, so that we did a lot of updates, both with the school administration and the school committee and with the administration as well. So that takes up a lot of time because not just the presentation, but the questions that are asked by the members of the city council and the answers that are given, that just adds more and more time mm-hmm. to the meetings. So when it appeared as if those kinds of meetings were going to run long, that's when President Cook would talk to us about getting together another night during the same week
right.
to try to accommodate everybody. Before our brains went to mush.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they can, if you keep going. Imagine if you had a committee meeting every single night. You know, in some places they may have those meetings. You know, I know planning boards, zoning mm-hmm. boards, and all these other places. Sometimes you see some of the same members. You know, if a planning board meets on a certain night, they may be there the following night because there's a lot of people don't realize how many hours that people put in for these.
Especially like the different boards and commissions that the city has that are it's all volunteer.
Right.
The hours that the volunteers put in for work on those boards and commissions, if you didn't have them, those volunteers to do that work, the city would come to a screeching halt
mm-hmm.
because there's just so many issues that come up that have to be addressed that if you didn't have those boards and commissions to do the work that they do and make recommendations to whomever they answer to, then it would be really tough to get anything accomplished in the city.
Yeah, or their minds can go mush as well sometimes.
Yeah, well,
can,
sure.
They can, you know, if they're there on a continual basis, they really can. We've got Ward 1 Councilor Walter Thibodeau with us here talking about his 18-year career and other things that are going on, of course, at the City Council. Now coming up to 12 minutes after 9, we've got our next check on the forecast. Meteorologist Jim Corbin now back with us once again. Jim?
Well, Don, very quickly, an update. We've got high clouds now starting to thin out to the north and west, so it's going to get brighter as the late morning and afternoon wears on. Not quite the blue skies we had over the weekend, but similar temperatures, mid to upper 50s. This is good stuff for December. Tonight, clouding up late, falling to the upper 30s, and then it looks like a coldest day of the week is tomorrow, low and mid 40s, mostly cloudy. I think it should stay dry. Storm center will be far enough offshore, but the key tomorrow is a north-northeast wind. And then it's back to sun and clouds, mid-40s on Wednesday. Thursday, clouds and sun, 50. And then Friday and the weekend could be very similar to what we just had. And if that's the case, then I think everyone will be happy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, well, we'll see what happens, Jim. All right, we will have another update with you coming up in the next half hour.
Okay.
All right. We've got Walter Thibodeau here coming in, coming, of course, to retiring at the end of this year. Of course, he's not old enough to retire fully, of course. We've got some other people at City Council within the city, of course, who have been working a long time too. Brian Kirby is leaving because of his the work that he's done. He did not get elected. Yep. You've got the city clerk Betty Chakru is retiring, and Steve Withers won that election. Recently this year, you have Ken Owens, who took over for Linda Alger a couple of months ago as the administrative assistant. Laura Gignac is now going to be taking over as city treasurer, as Ethel Sandbatch is retiring at the end of this month as well. And, of course, many people on the school committee. Dave Murphy is not being reelected. Fran Zito is not coming back, and a few other people. And that goes to our next piece of information. Very sad that we understand that Fran Zito's husband, Mickey, passed away yesterday at the age of 88 as well.
Yeah, that was I had received an email from Dave Murphy, as did all the other city councilors, and that was a shock when I opened up my emails and saw that in there. Mickey and I, different generations, of course, but we saw each other at the different veterans events and different things that were going on in the city he would participate in. And, of course, known Fran, as long as I've been in office, I've known Fran. So, really sad. Very, very sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, here we are that, you know, and Mickey, as you know, has been a longtime member of the VFW. And I remember a few years ago, it's a number of years ago, when Cable did a PSA on some of them trying to recruit new members.
United Regional Champion.
They had a quick interview with Mickey, and I think it was Ed Stanton who was asking the questions, what did you start doing? And he says, I'm a cook because everybody likes to eat, you know. he was just a super guy. He really was, and he always will be. And now with the retirement of, Fran, I thought they were going to spend their latter years, together, retiring, and now that's, I know Fran's daughter Martha is en route from Oregon over the weekend. I know Jimmy is up here, the son Jimmy, as well. And I think Michael is here in Attleboro, the son Michael is up here. But now with all, now they got a plan, especially now, not just today, this week is the 74th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, but now, it's always sad when you see it anytime, but especially now during the holidays, they got to worry about that now.
It's always tougher at the holidays, you've had a death in the family that occurs early in the year, but when you get to the holidays, it hits you. No matter where you are in your mourning process, as far as trying to get over the passing of someone that you love, but I know it. I speak from my own experiences. Is that when at least initially, when the holidays come around, it really hits hard because it's the first time without them, maybe in your lifetime, depending upon who the person is that you've lost. So it's very difficult, but. When you have a good support group around you, like I'm sure the friend does with her family and friends, then that always helps to make it easier. It's never going to be easy, but it helps to take the burden off of that one person.
Yeah, and of course, they were longtime owners of Zito's Market here on the east side, and I mean, for years. And she's been a mainstay on Ward 5 for many, many years. Yep. And I'm trying to remember how many years now that she's been on the council, because she's been in that for quite a number of years as well.
School committee now, I want to say it's about the same amount of time that I have.
Yeah, it's close to at least 18 years as well. Wow. But, of course, our prayers and thoughts are going out to Fran and her family during the very sad time as well. Yeah, it was kind of a shock. I know that Dave Murphy sent that, and then you sent an email to me last night as well. But, yeah, very, very sad thing. But I know we have some, AACS has some video of him that we'll be playing. In fact, I know during the early morning hours today and during the day, I know we've played some of the old World War II video footage that we've had in our in their catalogs as well. So that's still going on as well. So other than that, now, of course, with the city council and you being retiring at the end of this year, Does it seem possible that, you know, 18 years is finally, you know, saying, well, I think, you know, what made you decide this year?
Well, it's a funny thing that you should ask that, because over the years, as people would leave the council of their own volition, they just, you know, felt it was time for them to go. That was the question I'd ask them. I'd say, well, how do you know when it's time?
Yeah.
Because it, you know, a lot of people have been on for different lengths of time, and it's just a curious thing. And the answer that I would get, like a standard answer that I would get, would be, you'll know when.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite understand what they meant until the last 2 years, and especially this year. Things that I had done automatically without even thinking about them and going checking on different issues, whether it was in my committee or somebody else's committee, I would investigate this or look into that just to make sure that I knew everything that I needed to know to bring to a meeting, mm-hmm. To talk about it, to try to educate myself. And so I found myself having to really force myself to do those things that I just did automatically. I used to take an issue, whether I would bring it in or someone else would bring it in, if it ended up in my committee, and I would follow it through the whole process. I would make sure that I would, if someone else didn't want to bring it in and I thought it was of value, I would bring it in. And then I would follow it through that process to the Traffic Study Commission. I would follow it through that process back to my committee and to the committee members of my the Transportation Traffic Committee, if it was in that committee. Or then I would follow it through the full council. If we needed to call for a public hearing, I made sure that that was posted properly and made sure that we had quorums at the meetings that we needed to discuss these things. And then if it was something that had to go to Public Works because it was going to be a stop sign or a mm-hmm. no parking sign or some kind of signage that Public Works had to install, then I would go out there with the different workers, maybe Bobby or Stevie over the years, whoever it happened to be, that, and I go out there and meet them and explain to them where the concerns were of the residents and what kind of signage needed to go there. Even though we had already gone through the process, I'd reiterate it so that they would understand that, just in case the message lost something, by the fourth or fifth time, it was explained to someone new. And then after they would be done with it, I would go back and just double check and make sure that it was done. And then I would check it off. Okay, that's done. And then I would move on to the next thing. Or maybe I'd be juggling two or three things at the same time, but this year has been my toughest year at being able to follow through with that kind of conscientious work. And all of a sudden, the answer that I used to get from my colleagues came to mind. And I said to myself, well, that's what they were talking about. It's time for me to leave. And I know, because I'm not doing the things that I used to do without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really have to psych myself up to do some of these things. So that was the answer to the question. And the reality is once you realize it yourself, that's your little voice inside of you saying to you, hey, you wanted to know when it was time to leave?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Just about
this
now.
This is it.
Yeah, exactly. And there are, you know, as you said, there are a few more council meetings to go to the end of the year, and you're still going to, you know, other things do come up as well.
Sure.
And now, of course, with a lot of other things that are happening, you know, that you've seen in your, you know, your 18 years, you've seen a lot of things, you know, as handling city issues to ward issues as well. This past weekend was the a walkthrough of the new DPW yard. I think it was at 8:30 on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. there's something that a lot of people, you know, who have not seen that, heated floors for the trucks. Yep. They've got a huge area there. I mean, everything from, you know, where the city employees get their gasoline, you name it, is you know, and it's still got a lot of work to go over there. But, you know, I drove by there last week, I think Thursday and Friday, and I've been by there many times, but That is got to be amazing now. And Attleboro also has a brand new DPW superintendent as well.
That's right. And, you know, Lance Hill, who's the new superintendent, was previously, excuse me, most recently the superintendent of public works for the city of Pawtucket.
Pawtucket, right.
And actually, Lance and I had gone head-to-head against each other on an issue or two, both respectfully, but we made our points. But what I didn't realize at that time was that he had always been a resident of Attleboro while he was holding that position. So when the mayor was doing their interviews, and I kind of heard through the grapevine that he was one of the people who were interviewed, I said, gee, where do I know that name from? And then I realized, and I said to myself, well, sounds like a good choice to me, because I knew, being on the opposing side of something with him, that he made some pretty good points that I didn't necessarily like, but kind of agreed with. So, yeah, that's. I think that's, you know, every administrator, like the mayor, has to go through a process of replacing people from time to time.
Sure.
And this new facility, along with a new superintendent of public works, and with Ron Dubuque, who has been the acting superintendent and will remain the assistant superintendent of public works, they're going to have they and the rest of the employees at the public works are going to have a wonderful resource down there to work from.
Yeah, and they stated the odd things. I mean, there's security cameras all over the place. I mean, you know, and it's just amazing what you see down there. I mean, you know, for the longest time here on Wall Street, they've had, you know, their, you know, it was very adequate, but now they're into their new millennium now, you know, and I think they're, in fact, one of the gentlemen I saw over the weekend said that, you know, it's, he can't wait to start, you know, so that will all get fixed up probably, what, middle of the summer now at some point?
Yeah, as they're going through it, well, as you know, they've got a lot accomplished since they started work over there. But the pumps and everything are all up and running. They've been using those for a while, and that's for all the city vehicles.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there was another issue, more than a year ago, with one of the residents who lives at the corner of Lamb and that little side street. I think can't think of the name of it right now. But it's the one that goes in the plaza from that side.
Yeah.
And they had several crashes in front of their house that had messed up their fence. So when the ward counselor was out there talking to them, and John Clover was superintendent of public works at the time, and he was out there talking to them, he mentioned the fact to them that, you know, we're going to build a brand new public works area up here at the corner of Lamb and Thatcher. And in that is going to be all of the gasoline and diesel pumps for all of the city vehicles. So you're going to see police cars going up and down the street now all the time as they go and gas up. And the extra police presence should help to slow traffic down, not only on Lamb Street, but on that Ellis Street.
That's Ellis, what it is. That's right.
On Ellis Street as well. And so that resident was very pleased to know that there was going to be an added police presence, because that facility was going to be there, and they need to go to that facility at least every patrol car once a day, and probably more than that.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. We're going to take a quick break. We're a little behind on the breaks right now, but we're going to be back with some more interesting updates on the city and a lot of other things that you may know. If you'd like to contact Walter, of course. He'll be here until 10 o'clock this morning here at 508-222-1320.
There'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
The United Regional Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring the Holiday Parade Show on Sunday, December 13th at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. at Attleboro High School. The high school is located at 100 Rathbun-Willard Drive in Attleboro. Rick Adam, a.k.a. Professor Paddywhack, will perform a one-man act of music, juggling, magic, and hand shadows. Professor Paddywhack was a semi-finalist on America's Got Talent in 2011. The show is free and open to the public. For more information, call the United Regional Chamber of Commerce at 508-222-0801.
Clean out your closet and share the warmth with those in need. The Duffy Pool Funeral Home Winter Coat Drive will accept donations of new or gently used winter coats from October the 24th right straight through to December 12th. A winter coat bin will be set up for your convenience at Duffy Pool Funeral Home, located at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. The coats will then be given to families during the week of December 18th through the 25th at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar, located on Linden Street. Thank you for joining Duffy Pool Funeral Home in assisting those in our community that are truly in need this winter.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
All right, we are back with Walter Thibodeau, who is retiring at the end of this month. He is, of course, a Ward 1 city councilor, and talking about a lot of other things going on with the city. This past weekend was also not just the Christmas parade, the holiday happenings parade, but also the walkthrough through the DPW yard. But also, you are also a part of the animal shelters, their ribbon cutting there, I believe, at 3 o'clock.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I go back to when the then health agent, Jim Mooney, mm-hmm. had at least two orders against the city to close down the old animal shelter because the sewage system didn't work, the toilet system didn't work because the sewage system didn't work, and the electricity wouldn't stay on all the time. It would go off, and every time the electricity would go off, the local alarm would go off, which meant that before you could, because that had its own power source, it's a battery, right? So it would be like one error after another, and it got to be comical after a while. Not that there was anything funny about it, but you knew that if you didn't do this or repair that, you were under an order where the shelter was going to get closed down. There were battles going on between Mayor Robbins at the time and some of the volunteers, and they were all, the old animal shelter has all kinds of history, and I'm sure much more history than I know about from before I got on the council. But to go into the new facility and look next door at the old facility and remember the struggles that we went through just trying to keep that legal and healthy for the animals and for the workers. Because in the office that they had cages, you know, like carry-all cages, and they would be filled with cats. The workers would be working in that atmosphere next to their desk all the time, and there really wasn't any other place to put the animals. And over the years, we changed from what was a limited amount of time that an animal could stay in the shelter. If they didn't get adopted out, then they were put to sleep. Well, that has changed to the point, thank goodness, that it's a non-kill shelter. And it has been that way for quite a while now. And the volunteers that have been there under the guidance of their leadership has worked very, very well with the administrators, both Sonny Almeida and the mayor. And it's just been a very good change from the way things used to be. And now they have a brand new facility to work with, and the whole process that they have. And if you're involved in it, then you know that they have adoptive parents that will take animals out of the shelter and keep them with a family for a while. And yet those same animals can be adopted at any time, so that they keep them in their roles as far as opportunities for adopting those pets. But they do that to get them socialized and used to a family. I never knew that existed until I got involved with some of the issues that they were having at the shelter, and found out that there were many families in and around Attleboro and many other shelters outside of Attleboro that all share with each other the animals that they have. There are I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but there are certainly more no-kill shelters than there are kill shelters these days, and especially in our area. So that shelters from community to community are more likely to work with each other to adopt out an animal that might not even be in their shelter, but it might be in another shelter. But it's been there for so long that it needs to have a new group of people look at it.
Yeah.
And so it's going to the new shelter. And I had been through the shelter, a few months ago, when they were still working on it and doing some of the cosmetic things, but it was still a lot of work that had to be done. So I went in initially, and then I went outside and waited for some of my colleagues to show up to do the ribbon cutting. And but we had a crowd of at least 200 people plus. It was a beautiful day. So it was a great crowd of people, and everybody just went in the building after the ribbon cutting, and they had cake there and refreshments of some sort, and so they made it into a real community event, and it was the volunteers who pretty much organized and did all that stuff. Plus, there were the volunteers themselves. Kim Penkew, the leader of the volunteers in particular, had gotten a donation from another shelter that was closing down. It was a brand new shelter that was going to be opened, and for whatever reason, the community decided they weren't going to do it. And they had a bunch of things that had already been purchased. And she was able to get all of that equipment donated to the Attleboro shelter. And now, some of the things won't be used initially. Some of the things may never be used. But the point was is that in order to get the donation, the way I understand it, is that if you want one or two of the things, you're going to have to take it all.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So the volunteers worked very hard to get locations to store equipment and store other things that they may need in the future, as well as being able to retrofit it into while they were doing the planning process as to what they had donated that they could use so that we didn't have to go out and spend more dollars in order to purchase them.
Right.
So it's been a very good situation for the New Animal Shelter in general and for the community as a whole.
Yeah, and they've been doing so well down there. Now it's finally, you know, now it's up for speed now, and a lot of people will, I read something or heard yesterday as well that some people were actually eyeing some new pets for the holidays too. So a good time to do that, you know, especially as we get into the holiday season. Speaking of other things that are going on, I know there's a lot of work going down at the new sports complex, you know, and of course now they're still doing all the work down at the corner of South Street, 123 and Tiffany Street, where all of that traffic was backed up, you know, going through those roads as well. But things are going really well, and especially up in this near the sports complex, with a lot of those brand new condos going as well.
That's right. And as I remember, we had to rezone that area because when we had originally zoned the area, it was the IBP, which is the Industrial Business Park zoning, which is a specific zoning for that area. And that was to keep some of the heavy construction and heavy industry out of that area because it was so close to neighboring residential areas, residential zoning. So in order for them to build those apartments on that side of the roadway, we actually had to rezone that again back to residential so that they would be able to go ahead and build those complexes. But, the whole area over there is going to be developed, even though the people who have purchased the property for the sports complex, they have the first... Well, I'm not sure if they've already purchased, but I know that they have the first option to buy the unpurchased section that the city owned, but I'm not positive whether or not they've made a bid to purchase that yet or not. But they're also working with the other company that was going to process fish that had bought property, and they're working with them to negotiate purchasing that property as well. So they're going to end up with that whole tract. It'll be great for the city because part of their plans is also to build a hotel and to have tournaments and where they're going to have, if I understand correctly from my memory, it was like 2.5 hockey rinks that they're going to have. And the half hockey rink will be like a warm-up area. And then the hockey rinks, they will be able to lease those out 24/7 for different teams, for tournaments that would come in. They're going to do the same thing with the soccer fields that they will build, have soccer tournaments or lacrosse or field hockey.
Swimming pools, swimming pool, I believe, right, as well?
I don't know. Probably, because if they're going to have all these other sports, they'll probably do that
and
as well.
You know, at the last time that I was talking to someone from that, you know, City Hall not too long ago, it's just going to be a great place to be, especially with, especially with jobs too.
Yeah,
there's going to be tons of new jobs there. You know, with the hotel and the sports. I mean, what I forget, somebody mentioned it to me like a couple of months ago. They said you have all these great stadiums, like you have Olympic Park up in Montreal. Olympic Park Attleboro will be right off of, and it's going to be nice. It's because not from just Tiffany Street. You know, Commerce Way is between Tiffany and County Street, so you can get it. You can get come in from either way.
That's right.
You know, so simple. From wherever you are, they'll be nice to see some tournaments in there or whatever, but especially with the kids in the area, a lot of these kids, a lot of the I know Bill Rooney talked about this. He's like, a lot of the kids, you know, from school, you know, they can be practicing here, they can be practicing mm-hmm. there. So this is going to open up a whole, this is going to be, this is terrific for the city.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It really is. Absolutely. One of the things that was brought to the council's attention as we were considering it, it was the fact that they're going, surrounding each venue that they're going to have, they will have instruction opportunities for the kids, or even for adults, I guess, which would include like gymnastics, mm-hmm. or would include baseball or football, or they'll have instructors that will, whatever the activity is, the physical activity is that kids would these days have the opportunity to participate in, they will have instructors that will be running classes on each and every one of those kinds of things, even dance or, mm-hmm. you know, anything that's a physical activity for the kids. So it'll not just be a venue for team participation. It could also be a venue for individual mm-hmm. participation as well.
Yeah, it is a win-win, I think, for the city. And I know the builders, David Boucher and his company there in North mm-hmm. Attleboro, have been down a few times, you know. And a lot of this, of course, I mean, as you know, a lot of this was in talks and a lot of meetings with when Judy Robbins was with us. You know, I know that she spent many, many countless hours, you know, involving with this project as well.
Oh, gosh. When she first was talking about a transportation intermodal center, she was talking about putting a ice rink on mm-hmm. the top floor of what was going to be either a parking garage or some kind of a commercial venue. So,
is that the one that was supposed to be here on Union Street, right
yep.
at the corner of the up the street from,
yeah,
from
the old building,
where the old
yeah.
Union Theater used to be?
Right, right at the corner of Mill Street. Yeah.
Right. But, that was going back as well. So, yeah. All right. We've got Walter Thibodeau here also with us once again with another update on our weather forecast. Back with us once again is Jim Corbin. Jim?
Well, definitely good to get the kids out from the computer and do some physical activity, Dharma. And I think you'd agree with that. So hopefully we get that complex built for the kids as well as adults as well. Anyway, we've got good weather for outdoor activities today. Boy, I'll tell you, obviously it's a weekday, so most people are at work or school, but the sun is getting brighter. We still have some high clouds out there, though, so it's still a filtered sun. We're going to reach the mid to upper 50s, 30s tonight. Not quite as cold as last night. Then tomorrow, probably the coldest day of the week, but not bitterly cold. The low to mid 40s. Back to mid-40s on Wednesday, and it looks like just a chance of a few sprinkles Thursday near 50, mid-50s on Friday, and mid to upper 50s to near 60 on Sunday. How good can it get? As I've been saying, though, Dom, over the last few weeks, we will have to pay for it down the road, but enjoy it while you can.
You got that right. All right, sounds good, Jim. We'll talk to you in the morning. Have yourself a good one.
You too. Thanks.
All right, Jim. Thanks once again. Walter Thibodeau is with us for the next 15 minutes. Also, I believe, as I've been mentioning this morning, I believe Paul Healy will be having Ryan O'Hanlon coming in the studio this morning at some point. He is the funeral director over at Duffy Pool Funeral Parlor here in Attleboro on Peck Street. They are, of course, in the middle of their coat drive. Ryan was actually going to be with us early this morning, very early this morning, between 6 and 6:30. But unfortunately, he had some other things going on at the funeral parlor he had to get to. So at some point, he'll be talking about the winter coat drive, which is still going on for the next couple of weeks during this month of December. As things kind of wrap up, there's a lot of stuff, you know, still going on in Attleboro. You've got what recently I know that the city council has had on their docket is the hopefully the South Main Street building where the old Fishnet used to be
yes.
next door to the yes. senior center is going to be renovated as well.
That's the same thing that I'm hearing, and it's more positive than it's ever been. You know, for years, people have been trying to purchase that building, and the leaders in the community have been getting heat for the longest time. Why don't you do something with that building? Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't because it was privately owned and the people were paying their taxes.
Sure.
So you're limited as to what you can do or what you can control, as long as they have the proper fire protection and the other things that are necessary for them to do, whether they open the building or whether they let the building run down. There's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, I heard that. I've seen pictures of it with the spires on the top, and they wanted to kind of redo that again, like that years ago.
Yeah, and if they're able to do all those things, and the city council really hasn't been told that much about it at this point. If there comes a time when there needs to be monies appropriated or something like that, then it'll come before us for sure. If the zoning is going to stay the same way it is now, then it wouldn't come before us. But if they're going to change the zoning at all, then it'll come before us. But some of the other boards that we talked about earlier, like the Zoning Board of Appeals or maybe the Conservation Commission, they may have something to say because of the close proximity of the waterways to the building. They may have some input that if there were going to be limitations that could be put on what could be done with the building, they would be the ones that would be spoken to about it. And along with the building inspectors department, right, where you have to go to get all the permits to begin with, and they would tell whoever is going to be developing it at that time, okay, this is who you have to speak to and what permits you have to get and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Also, during your tenure now, in the last couple of years, and now within recently, within the last couple of months now, finally all the work is done. The new concession stand opened at the Tozier Cassidy Field at Attleboro.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I could only get down there a couple of times and do a little bit of work because of my physical condition, but I was so impressed. I just have to say this and give a shout out to the students. I appreciate everybody who volunteered, of course, including the adults who put in a whole lot of time, and the building commissioners and everybody else. Yeah,
I think Barry LaCasse, when he got the award that night with the before the game from the mayor, I think. I mean, I know Barry was like speechless for a while. Well, sometimes he is, and sometimes he's not.
he had carried that. Yeah, and really kidding. Organized that right from the beginning. And but what really impressed me were all of the students that showed up and really took ownership in the building, and it was different. Different teams and groups and clubs and just individuals, but there were so many young people there who were taking responsibility and participating and trying to help in some way. It really made me sit back and be humbled by how much effort they were putting into it. And it's such a good feeling. Getting not welled up, but I think getting a little emotional about it because
for clubs, it's basically
for clubs, but because as you know, somebody that when you reach my age and you've been involved in the city as long as I have, you need to know that there are future leaders that are in the wings. And because it's hard to walk away from something if you don't feel that there's going to be someone there that's going to make rational decisions and have the energy to bring that with them to a leadership position. So that's one of the things that really warmed my heart, was to see that kind of dedication and really embracing the ownership of it, to the point where some kids were telling the other kids, hey, don't do that because that's going to damage the building. No, we were told not to touch that. No, we don't paint up there. No, that's for somebody else. No, we only paint down here. So it was great. I was supposed to be supervising them, and I was getting an earful from them. So it was a great experience for me. And you know what? It was really good for the community. Yeah. The last time that I had been involved with a community effort like that was replacing what had been the new playground over at Capron Park. And And that was a community event as well. So it's good for the community to get together and do those things every once in a while. It's like the old-fashioned bond raising,
right,
where everybody gets together and does things, and you break bread together, and you sweat together, and you laugh together, and maybe you bang your finger together or whatever. So you cry together a little bit. But it's a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, with that, and you talk about that with the Capron Park, and you know, recently I know that within this past the end of the summer, they renovated the new playground on the east side, which Peter Blair was one of the many people was involved in that. They put up a sign in honor of him, and it was nice to see that. But the other thing is as we go into a lot of this a lot of the businesses are opening up. You've got like one of them right down the street here, the Pizzeria Canova, recently opened up. You've got a few other things that are going on here and there. But as we've got a few more minutes to go, we got about 7 minutes left. The work that you've been also doing in the city for many years, and it's over 10, 12 years or so, you have also been very hard at work with the Senior Center. You've been working a lot of hours with the Senior Center, the theater group, and talk a little bit about that. I mean, because I know that you're proud of the seniors, that Madeline and Darlene and her staff do a terrific job here. But like I said, you've got the theater group, but that's not the only thing that the seniors do. I mean, this senior center has so much activities for the seniors. Some of the seniors may not even know.
And you're absolutely right, Dominic. And I couldn't tell you off the top of my head all of the things that they do, because they do so many different things. I think the thing that I can say is that the staff is so dedicated, and I think a point to make is that they have a very, very small city budget that they work on. They have a very few employees that are actually on the city payroll. They work and apply for grants, and by they I mean the director, Madeline McNeely, and the assistant director, Darlene, they both work towards writing grants and applying for grants so that they can get as much money to come into the senior center to set up programs and plans to do things with the seniors, as well as the other stuff. They have free dental exams for seniors that don't have dental insurance. We're at the end of the year, so within a month or so, they'll be having volunteers there to come and do people's income taxes for people who need to file income taxes. And they just have all different kinds of programs going on all the time. And usually they like people to sign up and commit to going to it, so they don't end up with a lot of, yeah, I'd like to do that, but nobody shows up, because they go through the commitment of having someone come in to make sure that everybody gets taught the same thing or gets the same value out of the programs. And so I can't say anything but positive things about the work that goes on at the Senior Center. Even if we dedicated a whole show.
Yeah.
For that, I don't think I could get it all in with all of the different services that they provide and things you wouldn't even think of. That, for instance, they have a program. I think it's through Bristol County Elders, where they give you a little booklet and you write down your name and your address and emergency numbers, any of your medications. You put one of those in the glove compartment of your car. You put a little sticker on the back window of your car.
Kind of like the file for life.
Yes. And then you put another one maybe on your refrigerator at home. So if, God forbid, thank you, that if you have some kind of an emergency, that you have those things listed and readily available for the emergency personnel who are taking care of you, because you may not be able to speak for yourself at that point. And they have a rundown as they're taking you to get you some emergency help of your different meds and what ailments you might have and who to contact for emergencies. So, again, just another small thing that they do that as a senior can mean a whole hell of a lot to save somebody's life.
And then as we got like 2.5 minutes left, it's been a quick hour. It always is. You know, also as I talk about the Senior Center, you know, how many years now you've been volunteering with the Senior Center's theater show, the theater group?
Oh, gosh.
Been doing it for at least 10 years or more, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be.
I'd say maybe about 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah,
wow.
12 to 14 years, something like that.
And you know, in all of that, you know, you go through all of these scenes, the acting and the comedy and stuff like that, outtakes, more outtakes than anything else. But it really is. I think everybody gives at least 100% of their work, and they really do a good job. I mean, this year is going to be our 21st season, mm-hmm. and it looks like sometime in May, I think it is. I think middle of May or some point. I think April or May is our next show, and we'll see what happens there. But it has been a good run for 20 years.
Yeah, and you know, we have more fun at the rehearsals.
At the rehearsals,
than
yeah.
we do with the show, because when we're doing the show, of course, we have to try to follow the script as closely as possible. Yeah. When we're
After
doing
how many retakes on the script, at least. <you know.
laughs> Yes. But during the rehearsals, we're able to be a little bit more liberal with our ad-libs, as you know, because you've participated in them a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
And they get a little leading from time to time. And but we have fun. And, you know, it's as much a social activity as it is a way to release mm-hmm. the stress and the tension. The best example I can give is the mayor, who comes over and directs the chorus.
Yep.
And he comes over there, and you can see the stress just running right out of him as he's directing the chorus. Why? Because he's having fun.
Yeah, he is.
And he loves it.
Yeah, I think that's like you said, we're all having fun with it as well, and you know, as like I said, people need to figure out, you know, if they do want to be involved in it, is just contact them at the Senior Center, because we're always looking for new people. You don't have to have as much talent as you know, or they'll learn everything. We'll learn at these rehearsals,
and you don't need to be a senior.
No, you don't. We've had people as little as 10, 12 years old.
Yep.
You know, and all the way up. So it's always good to have that. Well, it seems like our time is come to an end. I want to thank you for.
Well, you want to bump Paul?
We'd love to, but you know, I don't know if I can go another couple hours, but I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, it's
but
true too.
Anyways, Walter, good luck. Good luck to you. I know you've got a few more weeks to go, and what's next in the Thibodeau life now?
I just want to take some time without any responsibilities, quite honestly, and other than, you know, the normal stuff. Just to take a break and mm-hmm. Not have to worry about what's going on within the city for a little while. And there are organizations that I belong to for a long time in the city, and maybe I'll get active in them again, or who knows what I'll do. But I'll still be around. I've offered my help to a lot of people mm-hmm. who are coming on, all the new counselors, if they want to pick my brain. In fact, I'm meeting with the new city clerk later on today. He's going to be picking my brain.
Mm-hmm.
What he wants to know from me, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Where are the bodies hidden, Walter?
Yeah.
No, I have an answer to that. I know where those are. Yeah.
Yeah, they used to be located in the old Bates and Clink building right in Attleboro. Remember that? All right, that's going to wrap it up for yours truly.
Thanks,
Paul
Dad.
Is up next. We want to thank Walter for joining us. And it's not the last time you'll hear Walter on this show, that's for sure. All right, enjoy the rest of your day, folks. Paul is up next. Have yourself a great day.